Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guests, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about how does our life play out? How can we look back and reflect on what we've seen, the events in our life, how our story has played out, and all of the little gems that maybe we've never noticed before. Today, my guest is Dallas P. Elkhart. Her book is Bronze Bloodline of the Phoenix. Survive no matter what, fly with tenacity, and soar with the rainbow, where she will be sharing her story of her life, and we will see many gems. Are we able to notice things going on? Can we see just how glorious that moment was? Can we see how connected we may have been? And the choices we've made have now just taken us through valleys and being able to see how is our life playing out. Dallas, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for inviting me, and I'm really excited about talking with you about the book and life.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing. You know, I think, Dallas, don't you think when we talk about how our life plays out, many times people say, I don't know, it's how it's supposed to be. I got a job, I had kids, I went to school, everything's hunky-dory. Now I'm just playing out the end of my life. Do you think sometimes society, social media, and maybe that book that we thought we were playing out is really something different than what actually has happened, Jess?
I actually believe that society does play a role. From the time we're born, we're told what to think, how to be, what we should think, should not think, what we should say and should not say. Therefore, many times we lose track of who we are. And so when life throws things at us, we say, okay, they said this is how it's supposed to be. And so we go along with it for the ride, not realizing that there's such a bigger journey there, and not being in tune to it because we've been told how to think. I do think society kind of washes out or whitewashes out our brain on tuning in to what life should be giving us, what we should be looking for. We're not as in tune around us as we should be.
Don't you think also, too, Dallas, that you're older and as I am, and we also think and we say, we thought life was kind of like, we almost went on as naive in our life, you know, and played out our existence. Yeah, but I think now that many times, you know, I look back on the authors that I've had in probably the last 3 or 4 years, and I could say almost 99% of them are now sharing their stories of life in retrospect and saying, wow, I was in tune, I had clairvoyant, I had some gifts, I was able to see things beyond timelines, I was way more intuitive, and these special gifts that have been given out. Do you think now people are starting to speak about them more, share about them more?
Yes, they are. Actually, it's funny you said that. I was coming back from a trip picking my husband up from coming from America the other day, and a young man who happened to be driving or riding with us has never, ever, he's always said, I don't believe anything I cannot see. And I started to speak of some things, and he abruptly jumped up in the back seat and he said, you know what? Okay, I feel like I can tell you this. And so he started to come out with things that he told me himself that he wouldn't have dared say it to many people because people say, well, they're not quite mentally well. They're not,
right.
They don't know what you're talking about. And so I hear this a lot, what mm-hmm. you just mentioned. I hear it all the time. I hear people bring up things that they have kept for years because they didn't know how to absorb it. But as
right.
they've gotten older, and he's older as we are, he didn't know how to absorb what he saw and the things he experienced as a young man. But I think as we get older, we start to look back on our lives and start to go, yeah, doggone it, I knew that all the time.
Uh-huh.
Why am I just now understanding it? I think it's called maturity.
Right. But also, too, if you look back at it in the decades of the 40s, 50s, and 60s, really, truly, mental health was not well cared for. The patients were really abused, misused. It was very rudimentary then. And if you look back at it, people that have had experiences or maybe saw shadow figures, maybe someone
yes.
that said, I had an intuition or a premonition. These things were not spoken of because of the cast that was put upon you, and then would you be then cast into the mental health system, which was very, almost humanly dangerous at that time, yes?
Yes. Even now,
mm-hmm.
I hate to almost say it, but there's not much of a difference short of the dismantle of mental health facilities. I was
right.
a teacher before I moved here and before I wrote this book, and I taught high school. And when Halloween would come up, I would come up with a creative idea and tell the kids, okay, I want you to write me a story, and you're going to stand up and you're going to tell me a story. And you can tell me a true story or you can make up one. I was totally floored. 400 students, 400, came to me, and they stood and they told stories that brought tears to their eyes of hauntings and shadow figures. And I would
mm-hmm.
ask them, have you told your parents? Have you told anybody? And they would say, this is the only place that I felt like I could talk about it.
Right.
Nobody, you can't talk about that in my house. So I don't think the stigma has gone away. I just think now they don't have anywhere they can stick you. There's no,
right.
you know, psychological nut wards that they would put you in. They would just classify you as a misfit and kind of dismiss you.
Yeah. You know, even the word mystic, you know, we look at the word, and some people think that that's fluffy and astrology and tarot cards, when really, you know, I went to an event just this past weekend at a university that I went to, and they were talking about a mystic in the Jesuits, and he was very revered and very held out, and his words were almost golden. So I think even just the word mystic, we look at it, how many different shades around that subject can we talk, right?
Right, really. You know, when you said that, you know, the first person that came to my mind as I was listening to you just now was Nostradamus.
Mm-hmm, right.
He was mm-hmm. someone who kind of had a shadow cast upon him, because he could pre-know things.
Right, right.
And so when you were saying that, the word Nostradamus came to mind.
You know, it's interesting when you shared in your book, you know, about Katrina, because Hurricane Katrina, I stayed here in New Orleans for it, and I had a very profound experience at that time, and I knew that in some way, I was meant to be here. It was meant to go through the process, and it would just be another path of awakening and opening up to different things. And I think sometimes we have such fears about the possibility or what we, quote, see, when sometimes what we, quote, see does not always mean it's 100% set in gold either.
No.
Sometimes between what we see.
I totally agree. I've had visions.
Right.
And when I get my visions, they come at night generally.
Mm-hmm.
And many times, depending on a certain situation, per se, I see somebody traveling somewhere and they have an accident.
Right.
It's not 100% you're going to have that accident.
Right.
I may call that person and say, look, you know, I guess it depends on how much they know me as to whether they trust it or not. And I will tell them, look, I don't think it's a good idea. And they'll go, oh, you saw something. And I'll go, honestly, yeah, I did. And they don't go. So it doesn't happen. But
mm-hmm.
not everything is going to be 100% because we all have this intuition. We all have this vision. But we're not 100% accurate on everything.
Right. Let's talk for a second, Dallas, about the book again, Bronze Bloodline of the Phoenix. All
yes.
of the events that happened in the book can, you know, many times people will say, that's my struggle, that's my hardship, that's my Girl Scout badge, and don't you see all of the holes that I've fallen into? And kind of when I share my story, I always say, these are adventures. They were something that happened. And I don't look back or talk about it as if it's dredging, you know, my old pocketbook
right.
of pain with me. I'm sharing it just as a story, as, you know, out of your book, just as you would have out of my book, you know? And
right.
I think that's sometimes where we say, have we become evolved enough out of this story to let go of the pain that might have been at that moment and then see it in retrospect, yes?
Exactly. And for me, that's exactly what it was. It was, I guess it was my evolution. It was
mm-hmm.
my time.
Yeah.
I heard a voice on the end of April tell me it is time. I ignored the voice and I thought, time to do what? And I blew
yeah.
it off. The next morning, 1st of May, I heard a loud voice say, it's time. You have to do it now. You have to release.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I began to write that book, I'm not going to sit and tell you that when I started writing this, that there were not a lot of old war injuries that weren't available.
Right.
I will tell you by the time that book was completed, I had licked my wounds, put my big girl pants on, and said, it is done. It is written. It is over. Let it go. And
right.
that's what the book was for. The book was to clear the skeletons from my closet,
mm-hmm.
secrets from my life.
Right.
The and not so much as secrets from my life, but I don't really see them as hardships. Growing up, of course, they were hardships. Any teenager or kid would say, oh, I suffered so much. Don't we all?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not so important what happens to you in life. What's important is what happens to you after what happens to you. So when
right.
you turn into that next person, you evolve from that victim,
mm-hmm.
and you then realize you're not a victim, you're a victor. You survived it. Now
right.
lick your wounds, get up, dust your knees off, and keep it moving. And that is what that book was for me. And that was one reason I wanted to share that story, because there's so many things in there that I know I'm not the only person experienced. There's thousands of people who experience hardships every day. We all just experience them differently, and we all handle
right.
them differently. But, yeah, it was more of an adventure. And,
yeah.
and that's what I wrote it as. These are the adventures that I went through, some good, some not so good, but they were still my adventures either way, and I lived through them.
Yeah. And I think sometimes when we look at it, we say, oh, but this is my identity. And it really isn't
no.
your identity. It's been where your shoes have been, I call it. you
yeah,
know?
Pretty
it's
much,
almost
you know,
like
yeah,
what you
yeah,
passed
I
through.
Yeah, yeah, I stepped on those stones. Yeah, yeah, I walked on that ledge. Yeah, yeah, I fell off that cliff. But
right.
then again, it's, yeah, yeah, I got up. I'm over here now. The story's over there. It doesn't make you. It may help to define you, but it's not your identity. It helps you to create the new person you will become.
Right.
Some people don't deal with hardships so well. And you have some people who end up going through all these hardships and they turn out to be mass murderers because they can't handle it. And then you have so many of us that, like you and I and thousands and millions of others who have dealt with our hardships. Like I said, we licked our wounds, and we moved forward to do bigger and better things. And I think that's what an experience should do. It shouldn't break you. It should make you.
Yeah, and also I think sometimes people say, but what is my legacy about? And I almost look at it back, and there was something that really struck me the other day about the word legacy. And I think it was more, is your legacy just creating words to put out there to hold up your validation that you were actually here? When in essence, when you're gone, it's you shed all of that anyway. In other words, are we now in the year 2019 shedding our, you know how like when you go into meditation, you can find up some of your past life stuff. Are we finally, though, I think, coming to the precipice where all of our past life thread is going to dissolve? And that's why I think all of the people like you and I and so many hundreds of thousands of others are writing our stories so that we can dissolve all of these threads. And now we're going to go into truly using our wings and being
totally out of this space, right? For me, when I think of the word legacy, from my perspective, as a young kid, I always thought your legacy was, the things you leave behind.
Right.
And as I got to be an older woman, I'm 58 now, almost 60 years old. And now I realize my legacy is not what I leave behind. It's what I do for others while I'm here. Things that they will remember, things that help someone else to get past a struggle, things that help someone else to get past a hardship. And if I help one person out of a billion, then to me, I left a legacy, because that book, my story, is just what you said, strings. Mm-hmm. Once I wrote that book and it published, those strings were clipped. That book is hopefully to help other people who may be going through the same things or something similar, or even experience or know someone. And they said, well, you know what? She made it through it. So piece of cake. No problem. Mm-hmm. I'll get through this. But you're right. That our legacy is more than just what we write on paper, because those strings are going to get cut at some point and dissolved.
Yeah, I think that, when I look at the soul's adventures, I truly don't look at human lifetime. I look at soul adventure and all of the collections behind this. I think, when will the soul totally, utterly be free? And I think that's where we're really coming up on a lot of the spiritual awakening now, where we are ready to bust out. I mean, I've said on the show so many times, I'm waiting to go back to Neptune, because that's where I've been before. I'm so finished with this Earth's existence that it's just beyond comprehension, And
I know, right?
And I think sometimes the idea that people are saying, I want to go back to health. I want to get back my body how it was. I want to go back to the place I used to live in. I want to go back in my legacy. I want to find out where I came from. When really, that was only your biological stuff that you're researching.
Exactly. And I talked about that in the book.
It is not your soul stuff.
Talked about, do you really know who you are? Bloodline is fine and great.
Mm-hmm.
It can help you. It can hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't define you.
Right. Yeah, I think sometimes we say that all of those were passages that some sort of one of those threads of essence crossed through,
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think that the idea of, are we biological or are we spiritual or are we both? That's where I think our meeting point is, and the meeting point creates a lifetime. So if we're looking at that, we're saying, what is this lifetime all about? I think we're really now coming to the point where we're seeing, how can all of this mesh together, don't you think?
I think so. I have lost many, and I have pondered as I stood there with my son. I stood there at his gravesite, and I pondered all these things that, we pre-plan, we pre-think out, we pre-whatever.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I had to take all the toys back to the store.
Mm-hmm.
I had to take all the new clothes back. The essence of who we are has moved to the next level.
Yeah.
And a lot of people say, oh, they died. I started saying transition.
Right.
Because I think our essence does transition.
Yeah.
can't say where to, but mm-hmm. I can definitely say it's a transition.
But you know,
and
also,
I think I even mentioned that in the book on a story of the woman who was supposedly my biological mother.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I experienced her transition. And if that is the case, then yes, essence is definitely the key word here.
But in essence, don't you think also too, Dallas, if when people are, you call transition or some people call died, I almost just see it as a change of wardrobe. All they've done
is they've gotten
a new car.
It is. And I'll give you an example. Not 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
My husband flew home because his sister took sick. She had cancer. On the flight there, she transitioned.
Mm-hmm.
By the time he got there, he had to, you know, do all this stuff that you have to do as the older brother.
Mm-hmm.
And within 3 days, he almost transitioned.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a phone call in the middle of the morning that says my husband is now on life support.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking to myself, whoa, stop. What just happened?
Yeah.
And it's hard to think transition.
Right.
But thank goodness he survived it. He got back here. He's doing well. And as I looked at some of the pictures he snapped of his sister,
mm-hmm.
I sit and I looked, and I could see no essence there. It
right.
was almost as if what you said, I sit and I looked and I pondered, and I said, look at this. She's not there. She has changed wardrobes.
Right.
She has literally changed wardrobes.
Right.
And gone into something different.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I do very much think it's almost like when we're being contemplated about being born, we're changing into wardrobe, we're about to become a human.
You know.
And I think when we pass this life, I think we transition and change clothes again, change wardrobes, and become something different.
It's so interesting what you had just said, and it just flashed right in front of my head, is that when you said about your husband being on life support.
Yeah.
It was because his part that he was attached to his sister, that
I
part
did
of
not
him
know.
Had
my husband
that part
suffers
of
from COPD, which is a chronic lung disease, and for whatever crazy reason, things mm-hmm. happen when they're supposed to, the
mm-hmm.
way they're supposed to. Luckily, and I know this sounds crazy, luckily he had this attack 3 days afterwards,
mm-hmm.
and while doing so, they found out he was suffering from heart failure.
Mm-hmm.
And they called it broken heart. His was called broken heart syndrome.
Right.
He and I had never, ever, ever been apart in 28 years.
Mm-hmm.
If one traveled, we both traveled, or nobody traveled. This one time, I was trying not to be selfish, and I said, your family needs you. Let me get you out of here and get you to the U.S. real quick. I had some things coming up. And so I sent him. So we think, he and I have talked about it, and we think that it was the loss of his sister. It was the one under him, and they were extremely, extremely close. He's the oldest of five. And we were separated for the very first time in 28 years. He didn't want to go, but I kept telling him, your family needs you. I'm a big girl. I can handle this. And so we do think, once I looked at the paperwork the other day and it showed broken heart syndrome, mm-hmm. I thought to myself, I do believe people can die of a broken heart. And you're right. I think that's what they named it, broken heart syndrome. And it could be the grief, grief of being watching his sister transition or being away from me and him for the first time in our lives. So, yeah, at 100%. Broken heart syndrome does exist, apparently.
Well, actually, if you look at it, Dallas, so exactly what you were just saying is, so here's my reading for you, I guess,
mm-hmm.
is that exactly at the 3 day time was when the soul had vacated fully across, as you shared in your book, but also too at that same 3 day time was when that last tether line of their connection had released, and it leaves
a partial
existence within him, where he had to let go of that. So that does physically take part of our body and our soul and our spirit and our energy. So that actually vacated. And at that time is then, okay, do we choose to go with them and keep attaching, or do we choose to stay here And now we need a restful period in which we can now say, choose by consciously choosing and
yes.
to be able to regrow your soul without those attachments. So that's exactly what had happened.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it at 100%. I agree with that because that is pretty much what I almost saw. And
right.
I mentioned a story similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember the part about the wren, the little wren.
Uh-huh.
And
right.
my father passing.
Right, the 3 days, yeah.
Yeah, the 3 day period.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was a real eye opener for me.
Mhm. Yeah, it's
and
really
so
interesting.
When this occurred, and of course, you just gave me that reading just now. It's 100% accurate because I've experienced it and I've seen it, so I know it. I know it happens.
Right. Yeah. It's. I think sometimes when we say just let it play out as it should be, instead of trying to manipulate the story in the process, is really
right.
also the gift that we've been given. Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're given so many gifts. It's just.
Right.
I think sometimes we're given so many, most of us don't even know what to do with them all.
Right. We don't even think of them. See, to me, I don't even think of them as a gift. I don't even think of them as special.
No.
I don't think of them as anything because I've had them as normal to me. So in
yes.
other words,
it's
your essence.
It's been your everyday life, all your
right.
life. So
right.
what some say is a gift, others say, oh, well, that's just everyday for me.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I think sometimes when we say I could be nothing but who I am, and that is what makes a difference, yes?
Yeah, yeah. And I used to always tell people I'm one of those people, you either like me or you hate me,
yeah.
but there will be no in-between, and it's because I'm just me.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that growing up, I couldn't fit in either world. And
right,
so I
right.
had to find my own.
Yeah,
and my own world was just being me.
Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of times I'll tell you, it's on a consistent basis. I had said even just something yesterday, and they said, no, you know, I don't know what you're going to do when you have to deal with the real world. And I'm going, what? You mean your world?
I know, right? You're thinking to yourself, boy, you have no clue.
Yes.
I've dealt with the real world my entire life.
Right. And I think their idea that they're using this world to be able to put you into theirs or to validate their own is really a point where a lot of other people are coming to, too, yes?
Yeah, I think that is true, very much so. And I think we've all had that happen to us where someone has tried to either use us as their validation.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes discredit us so they are validated.
Yes, yes, yep, yep. I see that quite often. They'll say, well, you know, that's not, I would hear things like, that's not right, you don't belong here, this is not
yeah.
where you're supposed to be. I can
yeah,
honestly tell you.
I've been
you.
There, heard that one, so I can concur with you on that at 100%.
I
but
mean,
then you ask yourself, you almost feel sorry for that person because
yeah.
you question in your mind, maybe not to them,
mm-hmm.
are you that lost with who you are that
mm-hmm.
you must discredit and disvalidate me so that you can figure out who you are by denying who I am or by not giving me an accreditation and saying, okay, this person just happens to be like this.
Right.
Do you really have to make me less valid to make you more valid? And I have seen this even, like I said, as a high school teacher, I've watched it happen with students. And so
mm-hmm.
it happens not just to us as adults. It starts way back. And we're exposed to it most of our lives. Some of us become stronger from it and some of us don't.
Yeah. So many times they would say, you don't belong here and you need to leave. And I'm going...
Yeah.
And I can honestly say I've heard that they've said that in words to me more than the fingers and toes that I've got. So, you know, I've heard it
right,
so many
right.
times. And I look, and many times it kind of I would just go, huh? And it didn't faze me. And then now, you know, many decades later, I look back and I go, well, what is the part of, why did they say that? And I never, ever came up with any answers.
Them. And if you don't, there's the old saying, a man who doesn't know who he is and where he's going has to be in a lot of pain. Well, I say a man who wakes up in the morning, looks in the mirror and hates himself, how can he look at me and like me?
Yeah.
So when they would say that to you or to me or many thousands of others that I'm sure have heard this at some point in their lives, you have to realize, I almost think it is not a direct hit toward the person they're saying it to. I think it's more of a direct hit at the person who said it.
Yeah.
Because they're not happy with who they are. And so, you know, they direct their venom, they spew their venom and say, well, you don't belong here. You know, you have no place here.
Yeah.
But is that true?
Don't
we all have a place?
Don't you think in essence, too, is that you and I are truly have, as people would say, who are you or what is your identity? In essence, we really don't have, quote, an identity. We are just in essence.
I think we are essence, just pure essence.
That's it.
And
yeah.
That's why, have you ever noticed?
That's why we freak everybody out.
You walk into a room.
Yeah.
And you're in a room, and one person can walk into that room, and everybody stops talking.
Right.
Or one person can walk into the room, and it lights the whole room up.
Mm-hmm.
Your essence follows you. Your essence is you. And I think your essence also affects people around you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an aura.
Mm-hmm. But here's another thing, too. Sometimes people will say, well, we are looking for it to be a light essence, so people will feel our energy coming forward. Sometimes, too, our essence is needed to be quiet under the tree.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Because I can honestly say, you know, there's many times I will go into spots and places, and I will say I am as if a fairy in the forest, because
I don't need to go in and just remain quiet. Sometimes just get in somewhere and sit and watch.
Yeah. In other words, our essence does not always have to be the beam of light on the mountain. That isn't the place that we're acquiring. We may just be on this earth to be that fairy in the woods, and isn't that the process that we can also accept?
Oh, I think we can. Some people can't. Some people feel that if they're not the beam or the life of the party, then, you know. But if you have matured, and you've learned who you are, and you realize that your essence can be heard or not heard, and it's okay either way, then that's when I say I think you've matured. Because you realize you can be a quiet essence. You don't always have to be a beacon at the top of a light or a beacon at the top of a hill. You know, sometimes a quiet essence draws just as many as a noisy one. It draws just as many crowds.
And also, too, you know, a fairy in the woods, or just as we might see when I did with the raven, you know, getting a video of it but didn't have the voice on it, it was as if we just want to be observed and passed through. It's not necessary to capture or engage or to imprint or to drag or be or get validation and all those other stories and words. Sometimes it might just be a breeze.
Because I'm sitting here, when you said that, I thought about the story that I mentioned about my son and what we saw on my husband's head, that being my life, the story form, and I told him to go get the camera.
Right.
And it disappeared.
Yeah.
And my son summed it up. It wasn't meant to be captured.
Yes.
Everything is not meant to be captured. Something is just meant to be observed.
Right. And I know for myself, you know, I found that I truly am at that pinnacle point where I feel it doesn't even matter if it's observed. It doesn't even matter if it's there or not there. I just find myself more as a breeze. Do you know what I mean?
Kind of just blowing with the wind.
Yes, yes. And some can see, and those that may, it's a gem, and those others may feel that they don't even understand or conceptualize, and even all of that is okay. Don't you think that's where the pinnacle point where you come to, you say, what is your true essence, and that's what we're talking about?
I think so. I do think so, very much so. I think just being to me. I'm thinking back on what you said about the beam of light.
Yes.
At the top and versus a fairy. Fairy is very quiet, mythical, quiet, not seen, not unless you're lucky.
Right, right.
But they're there.
Yeah. But it's also, too, isn't it, those who are willing to see what goes on in your life? Let's bring it full circle about your story. When we started out this conversation today, we started talking about your life. And in retrospect, well, truly, if we are these essence and we're now opening up to it, it's those that also, too, can open up, can start seeing, hearing, or feeling or sensing those fairies and those light beams, yes?
I believe so. I think so. I think it opens hearts, it opens doors, but more so minds, so they can see these fairies that are right in front of their eyes.
Yes. You know, I think in closing, Dallas, I wanted to talk about this for a second. When we say about the time when people come ready to pass over, you know, I work with end-of-life clients, and they are they're so frantic about being able to finish that final chapter, as they believe, of their life. And I worked with one woman, and I said, let's just go dance. Let's just go talk. Let's just laugh, and that's it. And I think, is that not where our closure sometimes of life can be so light, to let go of the life dogma?
I think to laugh, I think if you were to ask the person prior to their last breath, what would you like to do right now?
Mm-hmm.
I think those things would be it.
Yes.
I'd like to laugh. I'd like to dance. I'd like to smile. I don't think it's, you know, did I get the last word wrote in that novel I was writing?
Right.
I think it's the joy of just being, just for a second. And so, I have to agree. Yeah, definitely.
And I think that's very important, because now, as you and I and others in our same decades of life are finding that as we become more aware of all of this that we've spoken about today, we are saying, it's not that I have to clamor to say to someone, I have to tell you I love you so that you'll know. No, because we already know that we all know, and we also know that as a soul essence, we are just changing wardrobes. We can always talk to them in any paradigm and in any, you know,
exactly.
existence.
Exactly, and I've tried to tell people that 1,000 times, and I've been told pretty much like you said, that, you know, you don't belong here, that's not right.
Right.
And, but I believe that the transitioning, it hasn't closed the doors to the conversations.
Right.
It just closed the doors to the physical touch.
Yes, yes. And actually, if we put our hand up to, I always say to people, put your two hands, palms together, and just breathe into the memory of someone, and you'll start to feel it within your hands. That essence is still there, yes?
Yeah. Very much so. It's funny that, during this conversation we've had, where you and I seem to have almost come from the same place. Or maybe we've had so many similar mishaps that became great haps to us that we've evolved to the point where we understand this. And I hope that many people will at some point in their lives understand. Look for the fairy.
Mm-hmm.
Just look for the fairy.
Right. You know, it's interesting. One day I got up and I said, I'm just going to go out like the fairy in the night, right? And I had noticed the day before that I had walked around this home goods store, or craft store rather, and I walked around and walked, and I was searching for something, not knowing what I was searching for, and I walked out with this little tiny gnome fairy, and it's on my dresser.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it's on my dresser, and it's sort of like, oh, and it has blonde hair, too. Oh, and it has a pink dress. Oh, okay.
But well, one thing, I have a charm bracelet, and I have some things I haven't added to it. But since we've had this conversation, guess what one of the things will be that I will be adding?
Yeah, really, a fairy?
Yes, actually, yes. Yeah. You've made me want one.
Yeah, and you know, the other day I had gone out, and what do fairies do? They always rest on moss. And on the same day, I had gone to the grocery store and bought mushrooms. So I think sometimes...
I think not.
Right. So I think sometimes if we can take the lightness of all of our processes and say, isn't that cool? Isn't that fun? It takes you out of this human doldrum, yes?
It does. It does. It really does.
Yeah. It's sort of like I could care less about signing up for Medicare. I don't care about paying my bills. And it's okay that my shoes, you know, whatever.
There's too many other real things out there that's
right.
So much, I guess, more in-depth and more important, Sue.
Yeah. Yes. Well, it was such a pleasure to talk to you, Dallas, because I think sometimes when people say, I don't understand my existence, and then it opens them up. However, also, if you're helping others or you're with some others or you're in a relationship with someone and the other person is having these stories like you and I are sharing, then people will say, ah, maybe you need to read this book. Maybe you need to listen to this talk. Maybe you need to join in their existence and maybe I can understand you then. So I think really what we're doing is we're lighting up everybody no matter where they are in their existence today.
Exactly. And that's the whole intent.
Yes.
I think that's what people like you and I were placed here to do.
Yeah. It's a fun dance, yes?
It is, and I'm enjoying every minute of it.
Absolutely. Well, can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about your work? That would be wonderful.
Yes, the book is in English version right now. It is available at Barnes & Noble's. It is available at Amazon. It is available at Noble Memphis. They actually have it on the shelves there, and that's in Memphis, Tennessee. You can get it worldwide on just about any bookstore. If you are in another country, it is available worldwide through all the bookstores. I've checked. There's about 40 of them. And it is coming out in Portuguese, December the 1st. I will be having the honor of presenting that first Portuguese version to the President of Portugal, where I'll be having lunch with him on December the 1st. And so it will be, if they go online and go to Amazon, go to Barnes & Noble, go to any bookstore and look up Bronze Bloodline of the Phoenix, they will be able to find it, and it comes in paperback, and it is also in an ebook version. And I will be creating a audio version. I'd like to do that for people who are possibly blind, or maybe for the elderly, for just someone to put it on, and they could just lay there and have a book read to them without worrying about being alone.
Absolutely. Well, it is such a wonderful work, Dallas. Thank you so much for sharing with us. And you really have an exciting way of being able to share your book going forward. That's so exciting.
Well, thank you very much. And I am very grateful to you for having me on your show. And I'm so sure that throughout your lifetime of work, there will be many, many people who will be able to get a lot of value from the different guests that you have and the messages they have. And if they just take it to heart and look for the fairy, life will be so much more better.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for engaging in the conversation today.
Thank you. And you take care of yourself.
Thank you. If you'd like to find out more information about Dallas Elkhart, again, her book is Bronze Bloodline of the Phoenix, Survive No Matter What, Fly with Tenacity, and Soar with the Rainbow, please do check out the link on the bottom of today's show page for more information and go directly to her website. It truly is about being able to say, what am I made of? What is the journey I'm on? How high can I fly? How can I walk through the forest? And how can I just enjoy the experience of the moment? It doesn't have to be something that is so set in stone. Just fly with your moment. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.